Welcome to the Firefly Project. I'm your host, Jeremy Laney. Thank you for joining the Firefly Project. This podcast is all about Jesus, all about grace. This is going to be a little introduction today about Firefly, how Firefly came to be, and about what we're going to talk about here on this podcast. God has laid on my heart for years to do ministry, to teach about grace, righteousness, his gospel, the good news. I was praying about the podcast, and I really wanted it to be something unique. I wanted the name to be unique. I didn't want it to sound religious or anything like that, or churchy, you know. So I got to thinking about the name, and I come, long story short, I came across the word Firefly in my mind, and I really, really, really loved that name. For some reason, it just clicked in my spirit and my heart, and I got to looking up the word Firefly and about fireflies, and something pretty neat is that fireflies, you know, have a light on them, of course, and they come out at night in the darkness, and you can see hundreds of them. I'm from Alabama here in the South, and we have tons of fireflies in during the summer. So a firefly is a night, is a light in the darkness. And the believer in Jesus, the Bible says that we are the light of the world. Jesus is the light. Also, I looked up the definition of firefly, and it says that they communicate with that light. So I got to thinking, okay, Jesus is the light. And one of the most significant things about the firefly is that we are the light of the world in the darkness. And if you turn the lights off in a totally dark room, in other words, a room that doesn't have any windows or any light in it, when you turn the light off, and you can light the smallest, little, tiniest light in that room, the portion of that darkness, you know, and it takes away a portion of that darkness depending on how bright the light is. And the more little bitty lights you have in that dark room, the room lights up and the darkness goes away. So that's what we're in this world of there's darkness in this world, and we are the light of the world. So Firefly, I'm wanting to call it Firefly Project because it, to me, it is a project to get the truth out to the world, the truth out to the lost, to the poor, to the hurting, to those that are constantly walking in guilt and shame and condemnation. They have a heart for God. They love God, and they want to do good things for God. But for some reason, you know, they keep stumbling, you know, because we're human. We have this thing we deal with called flesh. And when you deal with this thing called flesh, you're going to fail. You're not going to be perfect. The flesh cannot be perfected. And then that's where grace comes in. And grace, the true teaching of grace, will take away that guilt and shame and condemnation. Grace is not a license to sin. And that's what a lot of ministers are scared of with this grace message. They're like, oh, they're just teaching you that grace is a license to sin. No, it's not. It's right opposite. Once you get the revelation of Jesus, of grace, why he came, why the law really came, then all of a sudden you will begin to walk in this grace, and the desires of sin will go away. And I'm going to teach you that through the Word of God. I'm going to show you this in the Word of God in the simplest, most easiest way to understand. My own children understand this message. And they're like, Dad, you got to preach this. You explain it in such a good way. You got to get this out. And the only way I knew to get it out was through podcast. And if you enjoy this podcast and what we're doing here, and I ask that you would tell other people, because word of mouth is the most powerful thing. It's the most powerful advertising is the word of mouth. I don't have the money to get out there and do billboards and to advertise on these big radio shows. I don't have it unless somebody donates it to me. Unless, you know, of course, if God wants me to do it, he'll provide. But, you know, the word of mouth is the biggest thing. Just like back in the days of Jesus, what happened when Jesus started healing people? And what happened? People went out and told the cities. They went out and said, look what this man done for me. He's the Messiah, the Son of God. He healed me. He healed my daughter. And all of a sudden, boom, multitudes came to listen to Jesus. So my point is that the word of mouth is powerful. That's my point in that. So anyway, we're going to talk about grace. I'm going to show you what grace is, what it does, what Paul said about grace, what Paul said about righteousness, what Paul said about sin, what Paul said about the law, and how sin works, how the law works, what the law does to you when you do try to do the law, do the law or perform the law, your motivation and why you're doing things for God, and just a lot of things we're going to cover that I may leave out in this introduction. But the main thing is you're going to learn about grace, and you're going to come to the knowledge of the fullness of Jesus. I pray, and I pray that for me all the time, and the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and Jesus is grace. So that is a small introduction to Firefly, the Firefly Project, and what we're going to be about. We're going to teach the truth. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about me, about Jeremy. When I was young, I was raised in church. I was first raised in, first went to a Methodist church in my local community as a young child, and I developed a love for God. And then we moved on to a Word of Faith, the Word of Faith movement. My parents got into that. So I was raised in a charismatic sort of type Pentecostal church. And I loved praise and worship. I loved it. I have a heart of worship towards God. I love to sing. I love to dance before God. And I was taught the Word of Faith movement. And I call it a movement, but the Word of Faith at that time, the teachings. And it was a little legal. It was legalistic, you know. If you're not teaching the grace message, the free gift of grace and the free gift of righteousness, then you're going to have some legalism in your teaching. More than likely, a minister's going to have some legalism, some form of work or earned something that you have to earn from God, or to do good to get something from God. To do a good deed. Some teach that you have to do good deeds to keep your salvation. That you have to do good deeds to not fall from God's grace. And I'm going to show you where the Bible, where Paul says right the opposite of that. Where Paul said, if you try to do good thing, if you try to do these good works and or any works to try to get something from God, to try to be righteous, course, that is self-righteousness, then he actually says you have fell from grace. You are estranged from Christ. And right now you may be thinking, oh my God, how dare you say that? But if you'll bear with me, I'll show you this. And it literally says word for word what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, when he's explaining to the Jews and to the Gentiles this grace message. And I'm going to also show you what the sacrifice of Jesus really did for us. Yes, we know that Jesus came to save the world, that he died on the cross for our sins. You know, in a nutshell, yes, that's what it did, but there's way more to it than that. The roots go way deeper. It's more powerful than that, actually. Well, Jeremy, how much more powerful can it get? Well, we're going to go through the scriptures and study them, and I'm going to teach you and show you some things in the scripture, and you may get mad. When I first learned some about this, first started hearing about this message, I got mad. You know, it was against what I was taught as a young adult, as a teenager, growing up. You know, I went to Bible school and I was taught these things, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it upset me. But at the same time, when I was a teenager, going back to my childhood and teenager, I went to Bible school, and I guess it was later on in my teenage years, and I was like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than this, because I loved God so much. I loved him all my heart, and I wanted to please him. I wanted him to be pleased with me. I wanted to do great things for God, and I wanted to see people blessed. I want to see people healed. I want to see people, you know, feel God's love and his presence, and as I did. And I did feel God's love. I did feel God's presence. But when you understand this grace, oh my goodness, it becomes a more intimate relationship with a loving God, and you'll begin to call him Abba Father. You'll begin to call him Abba instead of just God. And some people actually may see God as this dictator, you know, that you can't ever please or make happy, or that he's always mad at you. God is not mad at you. I'm telling you today, God is not mad at you. He's not mad. And I'm going to show you this in the scriptures. I'm going to show this in the Word of God. that he loves you with unconditional love. And let me tell you why. When the Word of God says something, it means it. It means it. If it's unconditional, it is unconditional. If it's free, it's free. If it's a free gift, then it is free. There's no buts. There's no, well, we out, but. No. There's no confusion in the Word of God. There's no condemnation in the good news. The gospel means the good news. And it's all good news, guys. It's all good news. There's no bad news in this for the believer, okay? It's freedom to love, worship God, to have a close, intimate, loving relationship with a loving Father. And that's why a lot of women today are so easily in love with God, because women love the intimacy. And are very emotional creatures. They're very emotional human beings. The woman is, and there's a lot of men that are emotional. I'm emotional. You know, I've had a tender heart since I was a little kid, very tender heart. I squalled and cried at Old Yeller, the movie Old Yeller, and I still cry at different movies today. And I'm not ashamed of it. You know, that's an emotion God gave us. It is not unmanly to cry. By the way, it's actually a healing process. It can be. So anyway, I don't want to get off track here. But as a teenager, I knew that there was more. There was more to this gospel. There's more to the good news. There's more to this. And I knew it, and I prayed. You know, and this is something that a lot of Christians don't do, or maybe they're afraid to do, or is to ask the Holy Spirit to teach them. And I said, Holy Spirit, I said, I want to know the truth. By George, I was serious, man. I was serious. I was sincere, and I was serious. And I was like, I got to know. Please teach me the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teach me the truth of the gospel. Show me. And I thanked him. Thank you for showing me. Please show me. And because I would read those scriptures and I would get confused. I was constantly staying confused. I didn't understand the New Testament. I definitely didn't understand the Old Testament, other than it was death. You know, a lot of death, a lot of condemnation, a lot of, if you don't do this, that God's going to, like, you know, not bless you. You're going to be cut off from God. You're not going to be a child of God anymore. You're not going to heaven. You backslid. You know, just a lot of just blah, you know, in the Old Testament under all that law and condemnation, legalism. And I was like, this just doesn't mix, because ministers would start teaching out of the New Testament. Then they go to the Old Testament and compare it and try to intertwine it together. And that's like pouring oil into water. It doesn't mix. Now, the Old Testament is a shadow of Jesus. It's a shadow of the real things, the real spiritual things that are to come. So Jesus is all in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not bad, but you got to understand what it's saying and why it's saying things. You got to see Jesus in it and find Jesus in it. But anyway, so the Holy Spirit did show me. He opened my eyes one day, and I went to hear this minister. Well, first of all, my oldest brother, he's the one that come across this message, and he tried to tell me, but he knows, me and him's talked about it. He came across the wrong way to me that made me mad. He did it in a way that just made me mad, because he just keep asking me questions, and I felt, and it made me mad. And so I didn't understand it, and I didn't have a revelation. I didn't get a revelation, but he did plant seeds, you know. There were seeds planted. So then we went to this minister, and I'm not going to tell his name, because there's a lot of things I don't agree with him now. But at that time, what he did say, I know it's the truth, because it literally opened my eyes to see the truth, you know, to see it for myself, okay? You know, God can use a donkey to talk through to the prophet, okay? And he started reading Romans, you know, I believe it was chapter 1, verse 17 or 16. I may be wrong. I don't have my Bible in front of me, and I should, because I'm sitting here teaching a podcast, but this is the introduction, so forgive me. But the scripture says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation and unto righteousness. So if the gospel that you're teaching and preaching does not reveal righteousness, then you might not be preaching the gospel, because the gospel is good news, and it should show you the believer. It should show that the believer that they're righteous, and it should show the unbeliever they're in need of a savior. You know, that's what the gospel is there for. The goodness of God brings man to repentance, not condemnation. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. He also said, I did not come to save or to preach to the righteous. And he's talking about the self-righteous. And he didn't. He, matter of fact, he showed them where they were wrong. He showed them where they were not doing the fullness of the law, the pristine of the law. Jesus brought the pristine of the law. That's why he said, whoa, you know, hey, actually, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. So he was telling them, he brought back the pristine of the law because it was watered down over the years. Over all these years since Moses, it was watered down and watered down and watered down and watered down so much that, and then the Pharisees even made their own laws for the people to follow that they couldn't follow themselves. So I listened to this minister, and he started reading Romans and just reading it. And just reading it verse by verse slowly and explaining a little bit, you know, a little bit of the words, what they meant. And oh, my goodness, it was like just fire went all over me. The Holy Spirit literally spoke to me and said, this is it. This is what you wanted. Here's the truth. Here's the truth in the gospel. And I understood. From that day forward, I understood Romans. I understood what Paul was saying. Now, maybe not every single thing, but, you know, about grace and righteousness. And now when I read it, and even more now than then, because that was like back in, I think it was back in like 1994 or something like that, or 96. I can't remember. Maybe 96, 97, back in the 90s, you know. Anyway, so now I understood. And there's a lot that I'm still learning, and I will always be learning, you know. And I'm wanting to come to the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which to me is to come into the fullness of knowledge of his grace and of his righteousness. And so we're going to learn a lot. We're going to know what it's like to walk in righteousness, why and how to walk in righteousness, how that you are no longer under sin, and you are no longer under the law, and that you've died to the law, and don't freak out, because that is exactly what Paul said, word for word, but he explains why. He explains why, and I'm going to teach this in such a way that if you're seeking the truth, or if you've never heard of the gospel and are listening to this, you're going to understand in such a way that you're going to have such a freedom. As a matter of fact, I believe it was a Buddhist. I can't remember. Was it a Buddhist or, you know, someone did not believe in the word of God, didn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It might have even been an atheist. I can't remember. It might have been a Muslim. I don't know. That believed in Islam. But anyway, They said, if you're telling me what you're telling me about Jesus, you know, talking about the grace message and righteousness, if you're telling what you're telling me is true, then Jesus truly is Lord. Then Jesus truly is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is Lord, okay? So, therefore, Jesus gets all the glory. And that's another thing we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how Jesus is not getting all the glory in these churches, even though there's songs, many songs, and people sing it. And like I said, everyone, all the Christians I know, the believers, that they're sincere, you know, even though they may be under legalism, they're sincere, okay? They don't, that's what they've been brought up in. And they love God, and they want to do good things for God and be good. But you can't do it on your own works. Do we still do good deeds and good works for God? Yes, we do. But once again, we're going to ask, what is your motivation in doing those good deeds, okay? We know that you love God. We know that Christians love God, of course, but there's this thing called self-righteousness, and if you do something, a good deed for someone or be a blessing to someone, but you have the wrong motive, it's dead works. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about that when he talks about love. You can have your body burned for someone and you don't have love, you're nothing, okay? You can give all that you have to the poor. If you didn't do it in love, then you're nothing. And I know people do good deeds, Christians do good deeds because they love God, but your motivation, are you doing it because you want to please God, that you feel like you have to, or to earn something, or for him to bless you? You're doing something to get another jewel in your crown, so to speak. Or are you doing it simply because you have this intimate relationship with a loving God that has already forgiven you at the cross, that's already forgiven you and cleaned you by the blood of Jesus once and for all? once and for all, and that there is no more guilt and shame. There's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that means forever, there should be no more condemnation, no more consciousness of sin, actually. Could you imagine walking around with no consciousness of sin like Adam and Eve did before they partook of the fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Could you imagine? They had no consciousness of sin until they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did you know that? They didn't know anything, the word know, knowledge, consciousness of sin, until they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They all of a sudden had knowledge of good and evil. They had the knowledge of sin. Therefore, that's why they seen themselves naked. They didn't even know they was naked. They didn't know they was naked until they partook of the tree. Once again, it is possible to walk around without a consciousness of sin. And I'm going to show you why you have a consciousness of sin and how you can walk righteous without having a consciousness of sin. Does that mean, that means I'm just going to go around and sin and not know it? Nope. That's not what that means. It does not mean you're going to walk around and just go sin, and give in to your desires of the flesh. As a matter of fact, grace mess is going to cause you to not have a desire. It's going to be, if you sincerely walk, if you walk in this revelation, then in this grace, a waterfall of grace, if you're in walking in this righteousness and in this grace that Jesus has given us as a free gift, and once you understand it and you walk in it every day, as Paul said, renew your mind daily with what? With what? With this message, with this doctrine that Paul talked about, his doctrine, the doctrine of grace and righteousness, free gift. It's a free gift. Remember those two words, free gift. If I give you a Christmas present, you do not owe me anything for it, okay? You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it anymore. It's a gift. But if you stand over and have, say, how much did this gift cost? And I say, well, it cost $50, and you hand me $50 cash and make me take it, guess what? You just nullified my free gift. It is no longer a gift. You bought it from me. It's no different you going to the store and buying it yourself. Same way with righteousness. It's no different if you go and walk around self-righteous, if you walk around doing things to stay righteous, to stay saved, to stay righteous, and that self-righteousness, therefore, you didn't need a Savior. You didn't need Jesus. All you need to do is just constantly do the law. But guess what? Paul said that no man is righteous. No, not one. No man could become righteous through the law. Only way you're going to become righteous and holy and perfect and blameless is by the blood of Jesus Christ and you believing that. Paul said to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You may be a believer that has been through what I talked about you can't please God. You feel like you keep failing, put it that way. You keep failing. You keep falling short. You feel like you keep falling short. You said, what's the use? What's the use of keep going on? What's the use of me doing this? Because I can't do it. I keep falling short. I keep messing up. You know, God's probably mad at me. God, I just can't do it, God. I can't do it no more. You know, I give up. There's Christians that have given up and become atheists. A lot of your atheists used to be Christian believers in the church, but they got burned out. Pastors quit because they get burned out. So I'm done with this introduction, I believe, and I'm excited about it. So let's go on a journey together. And with this Firefly Project, if you enjoy it, please tell everyone that you know about it, which I know you will if you're excited about it. I know you will. And let's get this message of the truth out, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that will set you free and will cause you to have an intimate relationship with a loving God. God bless you. I love you. And most importantly, God loves you and is not mad at you.